Morning. Before Rob comes to speak to us, we have two short Bible readings, both from the New Testament, the first of which is from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. And it's headed, "The Fellowship of the Believers." They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And the second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. And the heading is, "Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah." When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Grace and peace to you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hi. Are we good?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's great to be here this morning. Before we get into this, I thought you might need to know a little bit about who I am. Who is this random guy that maybe some of you know me, some of you may not know me. So I've been here in the Northeast since about 96, when I moved here to work for the Methodist circuit here in North Shields and Whitley Bay. And my role when I first came here was with Cullercoats Methodist Church and the Fisherman's Mission on the seafront, to be their lay pastor, to look after folks and to be to help exploring preaching and stuff like that. As time developed, I then took on the role of youth worker and was the youth worker at Cullercoats Methodist Church for many years. And that's also where I met Vicky for the first time when she was a whippersnapper. She was part of our group. And it's been a joy and a privilege to get to know Vicky and Joel over the years that we have known them, my wife and I. I did a couple of years study part-time theology at Durham University, trying to decide whether or not I should become a Methodist minister. I realised within 3 months of me being there that that wasn't my bag at all, and that maybe God had something else lined up for me. That's when I moved from a church-specific role to a circuit role, and I helped to explore what an ecumenical youth church might look like. And some of you may remember we had something called Dimension at Oxford Street Methodist Church, which was an ecumenical youth church. And many of your own folks that used to be part of Whitley Bay Baptist Church were part of Dimension in its early days or development. And some of those young people that were part of that community, I'm still in contact with to this day. I have also a strong interest in exploring how we reach out to our local communities And so I have also been the circuit mission enabler for a number of years. So a couple of observations about me and that have kind of a prominent really to who I am as a human being and the way that things have developed for me over these last few years. And I think they are pertinent in this introduction as they continually impact the work that I do to this day. One of those has been a deconstruction and a reconstruction of my own faith journey, which began when I started to ask more vigorous questions about my faith and my experience of God and my experience that I've saw other people going through in relation to the life of faith and church. Particularly about how that works, practical ways within the context of church walls and what that looks like for those outside of our walls. We might think that they get us. Can I tell you now that they do not get us? They do not understand who we are. It does not compute. So currently I hold down two part-time jobs for the Methodist Church. I have one in this particular circuit, and I'll talk a little bit about that later on. And then I also work as the worship and discipleship enabler up at Brunswick, up in the city centre of Newcastle, just by the monument there, and I've been there for 5 years. I count it as a great honour to be here with you this morning and to share some of my heart and my journey with you. But I hope that we can explore what the future of the church might look like and that it may challenge some of our perceptions about who we are and what we do as followers of Jesus in our times. Questions about church have taxed the brain cells of many theologian and faithful church servant, pastor and preacher the world over. I suspect your thoughts turn towards your own church and maybe even the Baptist church as a whole. How long do we have left? How long can we continue to sustain what we do? If not this, then what? Denominations across the board in the West are asking this question more than ever before. The pandemic accelerated that question even more than that. As people who were regular attenders suddenly decided that the pandemic gave them an out. So faithful church servants suddenly decided that it wasn't for them anymore. And they stepped away from our doors. Many haven't necessarily lost faith in God. They are, though, wondering and probably wrestling with what the church and faith looks like in an ever-changing and confusing and complex world. The pandemic highlighted the vulnerability of our congregations, both large and small, who were reliant upon small numbers of people to fulfill roles. Those of you that are in church leadership will know that finances also took a huge hit during the pandemic as we tried to keep the lights on and tried to work out what on earth we were trying to do. The Church Times reported that average attendance has fallen by around 32%. This was a report commissioned by the Evangelical Alliance. Folks have also changed their habits in relation to church going. The report said that monthly attendance has increased to 16%, to 68% of the responses that were received on the survey. So it dropped from 16%. I'll say that again. I'll go through that again. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Folks have also changed their habits. The report said that monthly attendance has increased to 16%, while weekly attendance, there you go, has dropped from 92% to 68% of the responses that were given to the survey. From 92 to 68 for weekly attendance. My friends, things have changed. Things have actually been changing for a very, very long time. The church, though, has generally speaking been able to handle it. Or more to the point, we put our head in the sand and try to imagine it would go away. I'll come back to this in a bit. But I want to think about these two passages and the question that we have before us today. What does the future of the church look like? Now, of course, the simple answer to this question is that we simply do not know. Although there are signs and signals as to the trajectory that we are heading. We, of course, also pray for a reawakening. But that, my friends, is up to God and not the amount of hard work that we put in. But I want to reflect on these two texts that maybe you know fairly well. In our text from Matthew, Jesus continues the dialogue with Peter. I say to you, Peter, Petros, that on this rock, Petra, I shall build my ecclesia, which means assembly. Usually we translate that as church. What is interesting here, though, is that the word Petra, translated as rock, is grammatically feminine. And it agrees with the Greek word ecclesia, which is also grammatically, guess what? Feminine. So we think, and we read this text, and we say that the church will be built on Peter. But maybe, just maybe, that may not be the reality. It could be argued that Petra, that the noun Petra, does not refer to Peter at all. Perhaps Jesus is speaking about the physical place in which his identity is situated. So the significance of the ecclesia, the church, and what it is and what it can become is based on and in the person of who? Of Jesus himself. So there's something here about Jesus and the way he lived and operated within the world and the situations that he faced within the world. And it asks us this question: what kind of Jesus, what kind of Jesus are we following? Or it could be that this passage talks about an assembly that's founded on Jesus' identity as the Messiah of the living God. In other words, it's all about God. It's always, always been about God. Now, I suspect that many of us would say that we believe in a living God. And many of us would say that we think that God is relevant to today, to today's life. So could that mean that God is more contextual than maybe we've ever understood him to be? So just as we read in the passage, just those biblical heroes in our text of John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, they reveal the things of God in their time, in their place. Now, of course, they spoke about a future reality, a future opportunity, but they were speaking directly to the people in place at that time, to those saints that followed God. And throughout Scripture, God speaks relevantly into the world, into a world that reflects the context in which the people at the time lived and breathed and had their being, including all of the challenges that they faced. Because, my friends, they couldn't do it any other way. Yes, of course, they spoke about the future and they began to cast out what they thought God might look like in the future in relation to how it operates within the church. But maybe, maybe God is not just bound by the written pages of Scripture. But maybe the revelation of God is more born out of the believers of those who follow Christ. And who are we? We are the believers who follow Christ. The believers who follow Christ. So maybe the idea of the physicality of what we now understand as the church could, or maybe should, be different depending on our time. So my question today is this: have we really understood what the church should actually be today? Or are we holding on to a model that has been long gone and kicked into touch? Is the way that we do church correct at all? Because when I read Scripture and I read these passages, it seems to be suggesting to me that we should be adapting and changing depending on the context and the situation of our days. Because if you reflect on the Acts passage, it gives us a brief snapshot of what the life of the early ecclesia was like. And my friend, it was somewhat different to what we have today. They were devoting themselves to teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. They saw signs and wonders, everything in common. They shared what they had. They met in homes. It's an incredible picture. But it offers some questions and provocations. What does breaking of the bread mean? What does it refer to? Is it that which we have just taken part in this morning? Or is it more than that? Is it about every meal that we take part in, we're sharing in the life and the work of Christ? And what do we do with verse 43 and signs and wonders? There are many expressions of church throughout our tradition and our history that have a sceptical view of them. And there are other churches that see them, signs and wonders, as being such a vital part of who we are as the church today. We are also aware that the early church was not without its problems and its issues. Hence why Paul continuously writes to the church, telling them, come on guys, you've got this wrong. Work this out, think about this, ponder on that, look at that, reflect on this. In the New Testament, that's what we get time and time again. I suspect, like them, we need balance and we need good discernment. But we also need good questions. Good questions to help us to ask the discernment question about what it is that we should be doing today as church. Because, my friends, we in the church are faced with many issues that are taxing the church and society right now. Issues around the climate crisis. I wonder where you sit on that alone. Are you a denier, or are you wholeheartedly set on trying to make a difference for the planet? The issues of displaced people fleeing from multiple parts of the world because of war and climate issues and fearing the future of their lives. In my role at Brunswick, we have a Chinese Methodist church that meets on our premises. In the last 2 or 3 years, they have seen their numbers explode as folks from Hong Kong have moved to the UK, particularly to Newcastle. 4 years ago, the Chinese congregation had 70. folks within its community. Now, it's just shy of 200 in the space of 2 years. Incredible, the amount of stuff that we are seeing happening within our world. And of course, we're also asked to think about how we respond to the ongoing situation of the war, particularly in Ukraine. And my friends, we have to forget, we keep forgetting about the situation in Africa. The amount of civil war that takes place across that continent is unreal. And it never gets reported. Never gets reported. It's a forgotten reality. And then, of course, we have the ongoing and never-ending issues around the so-called Holy Land. What on earth are we going to do there? Now, that's just overseas. And then, of course, we have issues around mental health, which was indicated before. Issues of racism and sexism. And yes, all of those things are evident and prevalent in our churches. And if we think they're not, we are selling ourselves a lie. And of course, we have the ongoing conversations and discussion around the LGBT plus inclusion question and how the church works through that complicated, diverse issue. Many of you will know that the Methodist Church has started to try to grasp that nettle. It's not easy. I could tell you that. It's not easy. And there's hurt on every side. And wherever you look on all of these issues, there is hurt. And the gospel asks us that we step out of our comfort zones and we deal with the hurt. That we get involved in the hurt. That we don't passively sit by and let it run its course. But we listen and we hear and we ask God to meet us in the midst of those conversations. And then, of course, we have more and more folks who are being diagnosed with various kinds of neurodiversity that we're just beginning to grasp what that really looks like for us as church. That many of us here that have gone undiagnosed struggle to understand how and why we think the way we do. But all of these issues impact on who we are as followers of Jesus in these times. We as churches are facing all of these contextual challenges of our time. And our old ways of thinking theologically around some of those things might not work and might not fit these times. And somehow, we have to navigate this reality. Try to understand what's going on. For the last few years, I've been exploring some elements of what this looks like in the work that I do in Beachcomber FX. In the last few years of my youth work role, I was getting increasingly frustrated that the young people that we nurtured couldn't find a home within regular church. Why? Because it was far removed from their reality. Far removed from their understanding of what life and spirituality and faith was all about. And we think it was bad 15 years ago. It's even worse now. And those of you who have got kids, you will know how tough it is to try to get your kids to come to church. It's always been an issue. But it's particularly tough right now. So pray for the parents in your church. Pray for your parents because they are the ones at the brunt end of trying to analyze and work through some of these complex issues. It also struck me that generally I would struggle to invite my own friends to come along to church. It was a completely alien experience to them. Completely alien. Because much of our evangelism and much of our mission we do is about bringing people into the life of our buildings, of our wonderful churches. But maybe, just maybe, that's not a great place to start. And put the video on, please.
This is a story about common folk. There were lots of folk, and then Jesus came, and that was good. And the result was church, people together, and that was good. No one quite knows where the wall came from, and that wasn't so good. Some people tried to shelter behind the wall. Some tried to make it taller. Then one day, they decided to build a tower to see over the wall and saw that things on the other side of the wall were a bit iffy in their eyes, and they wanted to help them. They thought, put a door in the wall, a glass door even, and invited them to come, but they didn't. So one went out, home to home, knocking on doors, inviting them to come, but that didn't really help. Then a group got together, went out, had a barbecue, grabbed one, pulled her back, and that was a good and bad. Then, one day, one of them went out. A long way out, actually a very long way out, and he stayed out. His friends invited him to talk about what he was interested in. He talked about God. And the result was like church. And that was good. And it grew. And there was a rule, an important rule in this new kind of church, and this was it. No more walls.
I want to add something to that video that we don't see, is that there's also perception that folks outside of our churches are not talking about the things of God. My reality tells us that is not the case. That people are talking spirituality in all kinds of weird and wonderful contexts. So we are not just the bringers of good news. The good news is already out there. If we believe in a God that is everywhere, omnipresent, in all things and of all things, then God is doing stuff in places and with people that we just do not have a clue about. You see, it's not that the gospel or even that faith have become irrelevant to people today. Those conversations are taking place. I think our future will look like followers of Jesus building community outside of our safe walls, of our wonderful, beautiful buildings. It's about learning to rub shoulders with everyday folks and engaging with their lives, warts and all. It's about expressing your own faith and your own doubt and your own questions in real ways. Sometimes many of us, I'm sure, think that we have it all tied down, then we suddenly realise that maybe our faith is a little bit more complex than we thought. Part of my role has been to start a new community, which we call Beachcomber FX. Do you want to put the first PowerPoint slide on? Thank you. Beachcomber FX stands for Fresh Expression, which is a movement that's been taken up by much of the church within the United Kingdom. And it's about asking what faith and church look like when you take it out of the world. So Beachcomber, as we've called it, is separated into these four areas of scavenger, wanderer, gatherer, and collector. Do you want to bring the first one up there? I'm just going to run through these briefly so you can see a little bit about how we're trying to develop this. So this is kind of our first part of it. So this is about pilgrimages. So if you join us later on tonight at 7:15, we'll be walking around Seton Delaval, around the park there, and we'll end up in the pub for a conversation and a discussion together. Do you want to move on? Wanderer, this is where we've done a bit more work. So we have a weekly gathering where we meet in local pubs. We call that Sunday at the Pub. And we meet in three or four places around North Tyneside together as a community to do life together and to ask questions of each other. I write a weekly, well, not me, we write a weekly blog for that, that becomes the basis for the work that we do. And then we have these other bits and pieces of work that we do. We've just, over the last 12 months or so, many of us struggle with worship, if we're honest, in relation to faith and church. And so we've been trying to work out what worship looks like for us, which is why we've done lots of walks and pilgrimages and wanders, that we call them, to help people engage in nature and see God in the everyday. But just in the last 18 months, we've begun to explore sung worship together for the first time. At our weekend away, not longer, we wrote our own songs, which was really interesting. They cast a whole lots of different questions and conversations in those lyrics around our understanding about who we think God is and what we think God is doing in our world today. Blue Christmas is something that we ran a couple of years ago. Some of you may have heard of it, where you allow people space and time to reflect on their lives at Christmas. But asking real questions about some of the difficult stuff that we address at Christmas. You know, those relatives that you don't want to be around, all that kind of stuff. And some of the complexities around Christmas that we sometimes get. Most of suicide is really rife and difficult, and self-harm and stuff like that is tough at Christmas. So we provided a space for people to ask questions around those kinds of issues. Just move on. Gatherer. This is where we try to we've created liturgies together as a community to explore life and faith together. You'll see all of this on our website. It just helps us to understand God in fresh and new ways for us in our community. These are all written locally by ourselves as a community. They're not being handed down to us. So they're very much work predominantly for the community that we are a part of. Sometimes we use them in other contexts as and when. I did think about maybe trying to do communion with it today, but it just didn't have quite enough time to get myself organised for it. And that Signs of Grace would be the one that we would use communion for. Okay, and again. This is a kind of much more missional aspect of what we do. A lot of this is evolved around art and creativity. And the group that we put together is really interested in exploring what we do when we leave found art in contexts outside in the community and seeing what conversations and discussions happen within that reality. A number of years ago, I commissioned a photographer to take some photographs of local people in local settings depicting the main characters of the nativity scene. So we had taxi drivers as wise men, for example, stood outside their taxi. And we've done three or four exhibitions around that over the course of the last few years. You may have come across Christmas angels, the knitted angels. Beach Convex was the instigator of that. Hundreds of thousands have been knitted across the world now. But it was our little seed that enabled that to happen. Is that it? Yes, that's it. So that gives you a snapshot of who we are as Beachcomber FX. What this does is that it creates an environment for the Holy Spirit to begin to tease out what faith and spirituality look like when you take it out of church walls. So what does the faith look like? What does church look like in the future? Well, in the future, I see two types of ecclesia. I see a large gathered community, somewhat similar to what you have here. But then I also see smaller local things in communities with people that go out and stay out and begin to form community within their context and begin to explore what faith and spirituality look like in all those things. And above all these have to be contextual with the issues that we face within our world. If they don't deal with those issues, because those are the issues that are facing our friends outside in the world, and they're asking what we do about war, they're asking what we do about LGBT+, they're asking what do we do about all these other issues, and somehow we need to begin to understand how we as faith and church communities begin to explore some of those issues in the future. And above all, they're built on the person of Jesus Christ, the one in whom we have our life, the one in whom we have our being. So my challenge to you during Joel's sabbatical is to dream big, to explore, experiment, to have a go, to have a laugh, enjoy yourselves, and see what God can do when you start to do creative things within your communities. In Christ's name, amen.